when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I won't believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to say grace and peace from God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, one God.
Amen.
Amen. And I knew you could do it. I bring you a question this morning, and it's a serious one. Who among you has actually seen Jesus? Is there anybody who has actually seen him? Anybody back here? Pardon?
In others.
Good answer. You bet. But actually seen his person. Has he actually come to visit you? I've heard of those things, have you? But it's never happened to me. And I'm even wondering if I would like it to happen. I go back and forth on that and blow hot and cold. I don't know. It might be kind of a seismic event, and I'd have to hold my heart in my chest. I'd be so excited. I go back to the disciples. They got to see him again, but post-mortem, after death. After all, they'd watched him die, and some of them had been there when he was crucified. Some of them were right at the foot of the cross, the women disciples who have no names. And some of them helped with the burial, and some of them were in that empty tomb and spoke to those angels on the morning which we've come to call Easter. And all of them missed Jesus like crazy. Overnight, they'd become law enforcement targets. Before, you know, it depended on where they went, whether people believed him or not or wanted to hear him, and they got thrown out of places and stoned and denied food and other things. But during the Passover, when everyone was gathered in Jerusalem, it got real bad. Rome had had enough. The Jewish leaders had had enough. Jesus was dead, and the disciples were on the run, which is why they were in that room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Not that Jews are bad, but the Jews who didn't believe in Christ were so threatened, they were after him too. So they were hiding out until things settled down. And they were miserable, as you can imagine. They were miserable. They were grieving, they were hiding, they were fearful, they were confused, and probably many other things. And then right in the middle of all this mess, here's Jesus. And he says, "Peace be with you." Now, you know, because we are a liturgical church and we do things so formally, we probably imagine Jesus saying, "Peace be with you, my disciples. Peace be with you." Probably not. I imagine he came in and said, peace be with you. It's okay. It's okay. It's me. You know, the first time. He said it a couple of times according to Scripture. And the disciples, don't you love it? It says, then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. That's the understatement of the millennium. They rejoiced, you know, so low key. Like, yay, Jesus is back. Or, dude, we thought you were a goner. It's good to see you. Two little words, they rejoiced. So much packed in there, you know. I imagine if one of the disciples was an extrovert, and we kind of think Peter was, judging by all the things that has gone on, he'd be like, whoa, man, it's Jesus. You know, and then the introvert, I don't know which disciples were introverts. We don't know that much about them, but maybe would sit there quietly, expressionless, wiping a tear. And then the friends, you know, they're always friends who are close together, fast buddies. And I can imagine two of them gripped together and one of them saying, let go of my hand, you're crushing it. And then there's a brave one. There's going to be a brave one who goes up to Jesus, who goes up to him and goes, you know? And the noise. Don't you think there would have been noise? Everybody talking at once. Once they got over the shock of his appearance, people babbling with relief and with joy and with amazement and singing, Hava, Nagila, Hava. I mean, like, it's got to be, it had to have been a wonderful, wonderful celebration. At least that's where my imagination takes it. They rejoiced. I think we had to flesh that out just a little bit, don't you? Okay. Well, the disciples did one other thing, regardless of how they actually reacted. They recognized him. They knew immediately who he was. And that's because they knew him intimately, did they not? For 3 years, they'd been eating, sleeping, walking, suffering, fishing, starving, laughing, living life together, day and night in a very intimate way, and they knew every single line of his face. They knew what he looked like, living and dead. But how about us? We've never seen Jesus in the flesh, have we? That's why I started asking, have you ever seen Jesus? I haven't. Very, very few people have. Those who have certain spiritual gifts are granted that privilege. But most of us have other gifts, each of them a blessed gift, but very few to see the risen Lord. So how would we know him? How would we know him? If this stranger who walked in here, let's say, do you really think he would, you think he would come? You think he would come going, ah, with the Hollywood music in the background and his posse of angels all around him and, you know, wearing the robe and the light shooting out of his head? I doubt it. That's not his style, never was, and I'm sure Jesus doesn't wave his divinity in our face. He would most likely walk right up this aisle and be dressed like one of us. Maybe in a sport coat or a suit. Maybe in blue jeans or khakis. So, would we know him? We don't know what he looks like. How do you think we'd know him? Would you? Anybody have any ideas? I happen to believe that's true, too. He would have an aura. But sometimes people just don't see those auras, do they? Well, but that's, I believe, that's how some of us would tell. Anybody else? How would we know it was Jesus if he didn't introduce himself? Ah, now we're getting somewhere. Uh-huh. His kindness, his gentleness. But if a stranger walked up this aisle and sat down, you wouldn't know yet, would you? You wouldn't know that he was kind or gentle. You would just know he was a stranger. And that brings us to the point. The disciples knew him. And although we can't see him, we can get to know him as intimately as they did. So that aura that you were talking about would hit us in the face. We wouldn't need to worry about who this person was. We would know. It's simple. You know, I think religion makes Jesus complicated. I was listening to Yaroslav Pelikan on the radio, a very, very well-known theologian and historian who's unfortunately passed away. He's having a great time talking with Jesus, I'm sure. But he was talking about our creeds and how we say, I believe this and I believe that, and how he really thought that creeds were specific to the congregation, like we should write our own based on Christian teachings, of course. But it's more than that. The simplicity of it is just this. You do what he said. You don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't commit adultery, you're good to your parents. You make God the only God instead of money or whatever. You love your neighbor as yourself. Hard to do, isn't it? And the hardest one, does anybody know what the hardest one is to get to know Jesus? Forgiveness. Does anybody find that to be hard? Yeah. Someone said it before. I think it was you, Chris. Our lives are Jesus. We are Jesus in the world. And if we ignore his teachings, we ignore him and he dies. Once and for all. Our lives, it's that simple. And the more we listen to him and model ourselves on him, the closer we get to him. And that's so true. And I'll close by just telling you a quick story. When I was about 13, I stole some of my dad's cigarettes and went, you guessed it, behind the barn. Is there any other place? And while I was choking and turning green, the farmer's son, who was 10, came by and he saw me smoking and I begged him not to tell anybody. And he was like, I won't tell anybody. And I worried myself sick about it for weeks, but he never did tell. And one day when I was riding a horse, I went down a lane and there he was smoking cigarettes. Yeah. 10 years old. And I got off my horse and I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I saw you doing it and I thought I'd try it too. Mm-hmm. Talk about a kick in the you know what. I woke up that day and realized that what I did really did matter. What if he had caught me doing an act of mercy? What if he had caught me forgiving? You know? What if he had caught me doing a selfless random act of kindness, as those bumper stickers think? It's as simple as that, my friends. Your lives and you are Jesus in the world. And it's simpler still. Listen to his teachings. Really practice them. Talk to him every day, just as you'd talk to a friend. And the hardest of all, make yourself learn to forgive. And soon you too will have an aura, and people will be drawn to you, and they will want to know what you've got. And you can, all you have to say is, I've got Jesus, and he's got me. Amen.